Bibles and turn with me this afternoon for a few minutes or more to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 14. Making our way through the book of Ephesians, or plodding through Ephesians, and more presently this fifth chapter, as exhorting us concerning our walk as members of the Lord's church. And in verse 14, we read, we're okay on the pulpit mic, but let me get this turned on before I walk away and then you can't hear me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I remind you again, as in every passage of Scripture, context is important. Context. Who is this written to? Is this written to all men? Just anyone? Is it written to, more specifically, all who are saved? Well, on a general note, it could be applied to that. But who specifically was it written to? Well, if we go back to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it was written to saints at Ephesus, which we know to be the assembly at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus is referenced in the book of Revelation, the Revelation, not Revelations, but Revelation. It's one revelation. And it was one of the churches, local churches, that letters were sent to the pastors of those churches. So this was written to saved folks in the Lord's assembly, particularly at Ephesus, as is preserved and recorded in the Word of God for us today. It is written to his assemblies today across the world, wherever they may be, any assembly, studying this book of Ephesians. It is written to that assembly. That's important as we look at this verse. He said, Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest. So it's being written to saints. He's not talking about someone who is dead, which the next phrase is arise from the dead. So he's not talking about saved folks arising from the dead, but he's talking about saved folks awaking and not being as though the dead are. In context with the verses that precede that and our walk, our manner of walk, and evil and wickedness works of darkness. Yes, children of God, church members, fall asleep. We're not talking about physical sleep. That physical sleep is needful. It's necessary for the body. But the spiritual man is to be awake. Awake unto the Lord, awake to serving the Lord, and awake to walking in His ways and in His paths. So, we as children of God, members of the Lord's church, sometimes we are as though we're asleep. We're as though we were dead. That is our manner of life. Our course of life is walking in the paths in which we once walked before that God saved us by His wonderful and marvelous grace. If you look with me to the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in chapter 9, we have several passages of scripture here in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah in chapter 9, and in verse 2, we read, "The people that walked in darkness," that is in time past, "they walked in darkness, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." You see, that was us. We were walking in darkness, right? Walking in death, in the land of the shadow of death. But the light hath shined upon us. Jesus Christ has shined upon us. You say, well, what's this passage have to do with what we read there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14? Well, it's to show us that we hand ought to be as asleep and be as dead men, because we have the light has shined into our hearts. Christ Jesus has shined upon us. He has enlightened us. Turn with me to another passage in Isaiah, in chapter 60. And look with me here at verse 1. It says, "Now in Isaiah it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Listen, we ought to arise and shine because the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined upon us. Why do we want to be as those that are asleep and those that are dead? We don't want to appear as the dead men, those who are dead in trespasses and sins. That's the life we were in. That was the condition we were in. But Christ Jesus has shined upon us. Turn back to the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 6. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." You see, the Lord says, "I, the Lord, have called you. I've called you in righteousness. I've called you unto righteousness." We're to be walking in righteousness. He's holding our hand. He's leading us. That is what is symbolic of Him holding our hands, walking with us, leading us. He's given us His Spirit that leads us. We're to be a light to the rest of the world, to those unsaved, to those who are walking in darkness. We're not to be as they be. We're to be different. We're called to be different. Was Christ Jesus different? As we've been studying the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings, was Christ Jesus different? The life that we've seen in Christ Jesus, was He different? Yes, He was different. That's why it angered the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. Because He was righteous. He was holy. Their deeds were just an external show. And it was just an external show for the praise and honor and glory of man. But it wasn't to the praise, honor, and glory of Jesus Christ. It wasn't to God's praise and to God's glory. And so we are to be walking in righteousness. We were called in righteousness. We're to be walking in righteousness as though Jesus is walking right there beside of us. You got the picture last week. We talked about that. We're to live our life in the awareness and that Jesus is with us. As one of our memory verses say, whithersoever thou goest, wherever we go, He's there. And we ought to live in that awareness. Turn with me back to the New Testament now. Romans, the book of Romans, in chapter 13. And just to show you again that this terminology is used for the people of God. This terminology is used to the children of God. And there is a real sense in which we fall asleep in the Lord. And we grow weary in well doing, as to coin the phrase. Verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, what are the times saying? I mean, this was spoken by the mouth of, by the pen of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans. And he says to them, he says, the time right then was indicative of the Lord Jesus Christ's return is coming soon. Well, what are the times in which we live in? What do they indicate to us? What do they manifest to us? Doesn't it manifest to us that the coming of the Lord is near at hand? Listen, Paul said it was near 2,000 years ago. What is it today? What is it today? Is it not nigh even unto the door of His coming? Continue to read in that verse, and that knowing the time, you know the times, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up! Quit playing at your Christianity. Quit saying, oh, I'm saved and that's all that matters. I'm on my way to heaven and I can go and do anything I please. I can think anything I want. I can act any way I want. That's playing at Christianity. That's playing at church. We need to get serious in our thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to let them permeate our being. We need to let them saturate our being. We need to be immersed in His Word and in living for Him. We need to let our all be consumed. And do what we do for the honor and glory of His praise. That now it is a high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Listen. Nearly 50 years ago, since the Lord granted me repentance and faith in Him, and the completion, the fulfillment of my salvation, which is what? Glorification. Glorification. When I stand and I behold my Savior face to face and see Him as He is, and I am changed like unto His glory. And He says it's nearer than when we believed. It's nearer than 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, however long ago it's been since you first trusted Christ. You know this. It's nearer now than it was at that day. Praise God. So, for that reason, He says, awake, thou that sleepest. And, as it says in our text, arise from the dead. Arise from the dead. These saints, some of us, that have fallen asleep, we've done so when we become co-partners. We're walking with dead men. Well, that would be kind of ludicrous, wouldn't it? For us, in the physical sense, to walk with dead men? I mean, to take a dead man and lift him up here and stand him up on his feet and walk down the road with him. What one of us is going to do that? Well, in our right mind, not a one of us would, right? Well, we need to be in our right mind concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Why walk with the dead men? Why be a co-participant? And we've dealt with the subject of participating in their evil works and other verses that we've had. Well, he's continuing that thought. You see, why do we want to walk with those that are dead in sins and trespasses? That which we've been delivered for. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving to me repentance and faith in Him. And then we go out here and we walk with the dead men and their evil deeds and works. Boy, that's not showing much thanks, is it? To the Lord who redeemed us from that life of sin. You see, the reference is in verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Be participants with them. In verse 11. And have no fellowship. Don't be a co-partner. Don't. Well, our verse that we used this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil associations corrupt, destroy good manners, good behaviors. So, we need to beware. And don't be have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, reproving them. That's what we're to do. We're to reprove them. By the way, when you preach the gospel, you must preach repentance. There's a need to repent. Why do I need to repent?
Because you're a sinner. Well, why am I a sinner? Because the Bible says you're a sinner. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible also says that Jesus came to save sinners. Apostle Paul said he saved him, that he was the chief of sinners. Well, just say, supposing Paul was the chief of sinners. I mean, he's right up here, was in a class all by himself, say. Does that mean he won't save someone who's a less sinner than Paul was? No. If he saves the chief, he'll save any sinner, will he not? That come to him in faith, believing. And you know, the message of faith always supposes repentance to be carried along with it, for it's not true faith if repentance doesn't accompany it. True faith always accompanies repentance, or repentance always accompanies true faith. We the saved, and especially members of the Lord's church, in keeping with the proper context, are to arise from among the dead, from walking with the dead, from being participants with dead men. And it says, and Christ shall give you light. Understand it. The whole thought of the what we looked at and the verses we looked at before, Christ has given you light. And therefore, awake thou that sleepest, arising from the dead. Because Christ has given you light. You see, like I said, context is everything. He's not speaking to an unsaved person and calling an unsaved person to awake from their dead works, and Christ will give them light. Christ gives them light, and therefore they arise from their dead works. No, Christ has given us, we the saved, he has given us light. And why do we want to walk with the dead men? As though we're walking in darkness. You see, that is the meaning here. Turn with me back to Romans again, in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And verse 13. Well, let's go to verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Saying, you know, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then he says, anticipates questions by some of those he's talking to. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If grace much more abounds where sin abounds, then we ought to walk in sin that grace might much more abound. That would be the skeptic. That would be people of today's thought and ideas on it. That would be the idea and thoughts of some in Paul's day. He says, God forbid! God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin? We're dead to sin in the fact that we've been raised from the dead. We were dead to Christ, to God and to the things of Christ. We were dead to Him, to God, in sins and trespasses. The light has shined in us. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined in us. We're not dead to God and to the things of Christ any longer. We're dead to sin. How shall we live any longer therein? Then verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's what it means to have the light of Christ shining in our hearts. We don't yield ourselves any longer to sin, unto unrighteousness, but we yield ourselves unto God and to His righteousness. You see? Verse 17. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin. We were. I can't emphasize that enough. Why would we want to do them again? Why would we want to return to that life? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. We don't have to sin. We can choose righteousness now. Before salvation, we couldn't do anything but choose. We didn't want righteousness then. It was opposed to who we were. But now, Spirit of God indwelling us, we have the desire to serve righteousness and not to serve sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, we don't have to serve sin anymore. Why do we want to go back there? Why do we want to live that life? I mean, remember the day that you were saved? Remember the day that the Lord Jesus Christ granted you repentance and faith? I mean, you were miserable. You was a bad scoundrel. That's what you saw yourself. You saw yourself as God saw you for the first time in your life. And you hated it. You hated it. You cried out for God to be merciful and to grant you salvation in Christ Jesus. And He gave you faith to believe. And now we can serve righteousness, and we ought to serve righteousness. Look with me at the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. In chapter 2, in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, that's what we've had done for us. We've been forgiven all our sins. Why do we want to continue therein? I don't. Do you? Back to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 8. And this is the crux of the whole matter. I think this verse here separates the true believers from the false, from the false professors of salvation. A lot of people professing to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to have salvation in Him, but they know nothing of the leading of His Spirit. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, the Spirit of God leads us to put to death those desires and passions which are of the fleshly nature and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us light. He gave us light at the time of regeneration. And in that light, we saw our sins and we saw the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Savior, the Deliverer from our sins. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 18, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what happened when Christ Jesus came in your heart. That's what happened when the Holy Spirit of God regenerated you, born you again, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. For the first time, you could begin to understand. You could begin to comprehend the things concerning Jesus Christ and salvation through him. The things concerning God and life everlasting. But our light at times gets obscure. That is, it grows dim. How does it grow dim? How does it grow dim? Even to the point of the fact that we're walking in darkness. It grows dim through our participating with those who are dead. Those works which are works of darkness. Those works which are works that are evil and wicked before God. But we need to arise. We that are saved need to arise from sleep. We need to awake and arise from among the dead. He continues to shine in us. That light grows dim and it grows obscure when we're doing the same excesses that the world does. We're not letting our light shine brightly to those around us. You ever try to witness to someone? Maybe it's someone you know. And they look at you as though, you are telling me? You are telling me about Christ? In other words, I haven't seen Christ in you. Who are you to be talking to me about the things of Christ? Who are you to be reproving me of my sin?
Speaks volumes. I've said over and over again, we that are regular attenders to the assembly of the Lord, people are watching us. My wife and I have people in the towers over here. People that live in this area. They're watching us. They know who I am, who she is. They know we come to church services here. They're paying attention to our manner of life, to the life which we live. And I try to witness to people out here from time to time. And at least, if nothing else, at least give them a track, a witness. If they witness something bad about me, what are they thinking while I'm talking to them? What are they thinking when I hand them a track? He ain't got nothing I want.
Yeah. The truth is, they probably don't want it anyhow, even if you are. But they may read it. They may listen to you. The Holy Spirit of God may quicken them in their sins and their trespasses. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Again, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life.
Do you ever think about when you're walking in sin, when you make a choice to do that desire or passion that your flesh is drawing your way to do? Do you ever stop to think, oh, some thanks I'm giving to the Lord for making me a partaker of His fellowship in light? That dark deed
is not shining forth the light which He gave to us. Turn with me back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Verse 33. But we're going to read with that verse 34. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to you, shame. Some. There are many out there who have not the knowledge of God.
It has been said, some folks, the only message they will ever hear is your witness, the testimony of your life before them. If we're just like them, they don't see anything different in us. As the people of God, as the children of God, we're called to be different. If you haven't gotten that message through the 4th chapter and through the 5th chapter, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. For the light of Jesus Christ is shining upon you and shining through you. Well, we stop there this afternoon.